You ready? I'll go ahead and call to order a regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for Tuesday, June 3rd. If the audience would join the board and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey. How come that's a little smaller crowd than last week. Public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Not see anybody move towards the... well, now, wait a minute. Shelley, you messed this up.
No, I'm sorry. It's the computer
system. All right. Consideration of minutes.
Move approval.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any additions or corrections? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The minutes have been approved. Consideration of personnel actions. Looks like there's just one.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Those have been approved. Consideration of claims.
Move approval. Look better this week.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The claims have been approved. Consent agenda, we need to add road closures 1436, 1438, 1439, and 1440.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
And the second to approve the consent agenda. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. No public hearing items. Additional items. Discussion of bid letting for culvert replacement. Project L-LAF-25, 7385, Darren Moon, County Engineer.
Hi, Darren.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey.
Well, as you may recall, we had a letting last week, and we had just one bidder, and it came in 18% over our engineer's estimate. For that reason, I'm going to be recommending the board take action to reject all bids, and I will plan to reschedule that letting for next winter. It's not really a delay. We were trying to get ahead of ourselves here, trying to capture the contract that was in here. We got some really good bids 3 months ago. I have some concerns about the wide variation in culvert bids, just to give you an idea. That was let 3 months ago through the DOT. And Gus Construction bid at $288,000. That's that North Dakota box culvert. Our estimate was $331,000, so they were well under. The next bidder, they had five total bidders. Next bidder was up $348,000, which is above our estimate. And Genco, which was our only bidder, they were the high bidder at $475,000. That's almost $200,000 above the low bidder. So there's a huge variation in bids there, which is concerning. But so that's why we were trying to capture that contract while they were in here. But should be no problem delaying that for a year. That box culvert was built in 1914. It's been there 100 years. It'll last one more year.
Well, I guess it's really a good thing that the climate is. The business climate is so strong in Story County right now that clearly contractors don't need the work. Let's find a time that they do need the work so we can get maximum out of the dollars that the people of Story County spend.
Well, I would move that we accept the engineer's recommendation.
Wayne, I don't know that we can do that.
Yeah. Okay. Just discussion.
Well, so it needs to come back to us as consideration to reject all bids.
Okay.
Just since it's not listed as consideration today, I think.
Yeah,
that would be fine. Yeah, it's just discussion. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. It can actually go on a consent agenda for next week.
Right.
We'll do that. And I just point out, too, in DOT's opinion, is that if we do reject all bids, we need to make the unit price and stuff confidential, and we'll destroy the bid that was submitted originally. So we'll go ahead and do that. We have the original copy.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Darren.
Good. Thank you for your diligence on this issue.
Okay. Next is discussion consideration of resolution 14101 regarding the notice of voluntary annexation from the City of Ames regarding the voluntary annexation of property under the ownership of the ISU Research Park. And you can read the rest of that if you'd like.
That's what we got Leanne telling us. Hi, Leanne.
Hello. I have just a few slides to orient you where this annexation is proposed, and it's been a while since you've seen one of this size go through what's called the 80-20 rule, so I'll just a couple slides on that as well. This, as Paul said, Resolution 14-101. It is a voluntary annexation of territory into the city of Ames. There are five different property owners who have filed annexations to voluntarily annex. Those are listed on the screen, but they encompass 15 parcels of land. Those 15 parcels then comprise 80.17% of the total territory proposed to be annexed. And that's why you see the title of this slide called A Non-Consenting Voluntary Annexation. The remainder of the property proposed to be annexed is includes 14 parcels. It's comprising 19.83% of the total proposed annexation. It is falling under the Code of Iowa Section 368.7 that really does get to the 80-20 rule. The non-consenting voluntary annexation requires that not more than 20% of the area to be annexed can be annexed without the consent of the owners. Much easier way to say that is at least 80% of the property owners must consent to the annexation. And as I showed on the slide, this does meet that 80-20 test.
Yeah, and I would just, Leanne, all I'd point out is it's not 80% of the property owners, it's 80% of the property owner.
Property, yeah. Yep. Thank you. This is a slide of the proposed properties to be annexed. In the upper right-hand corner, this does show the overall county, and then you see the green towards the middle left. The red box south of that is the area proposed to be annexed generally. The color scheme on this, originally it was hatch marks, but you could not see it, so I quickly drew in that pattern shade, that brown pattern shade. That's the area of the consenting properties, and the area in red, pink are the non-consenting properties.
And just help me, that far right little parcel at the southern end, now that's separated a little bit. Is that showing a street that's there? It almost looks like it stands away from the other.
This one right over in here?
Yeah.
This is one of the non-consenting properties.
Okay.
The yellow is the existing city limits.
Right. Okay.
So it, by the annexation of this brown property, will create an island of
that's
that property,
okay,
which is not allowed by Iowa code.
Right. Yeah. Similar to some of the discussion we've had years back on off of State Avenue, that property back there. Okay.
I'm curious about the triangle, Leanne, that is not coming in. Was it simply that there were enough non-consenting property owners in there that there was a decision made not to take that triangle?
Maybe when I finish my presentation, Charlie, with the City of Ames, could come up and address that, because I don't know the answer to that. Charlie, do you know that answer? Okay, let me just go through a couple slides, and Charlie can come join me. You can come up now, too. This is directly out of the Code of Iowa. I'm not going to read the slide, but this is what addresses the role of the Board of Supervisors, Section 368.7, subsection 1B. It does outline the need for a consultation meeting that was held on May 12, 2014, and Supervisor 2 represented Story County at that meeting. Discussion today does fit within the 30-day time frame as defined in this requirement of the Code of Iowa. The language that you just saw on the previous slide does relate the proposed annexation to both the city as a county and the county's comprehensive plan. In this case, those are one and the same with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. These are urban residential designations and planned industrial designations. At this point, three options for the board to consider on Resolution 14-101, and just so you know, all three examples of the resolution were included in your packet today. You may there's one resolution that states, and if you look on the screen on the right hand side, that's an example. The line that's highlighted, one says the members of the board take no position in support of or against said application. The second resolution, again numbered 14-101, the members of this board are not in support of the application for voluntary annexation. Last one, the members of this board are in support of the application for voluntary annexation. And I will now turn it over to Charlie to address that triangular shape.
We were first presented with applications from the Reyes property on the west side of,
and then all the university research park properties owned by various owners. We went to the city council with two requests. One is combined into one annexation, and the second one, we presented them with four options, whether they wanted to bring in what was then the Christofferson property. Now it's the Oakwood Acres. That's that long piece that extends all the way up to Oakwood Avenue, Oakwood Drive, or whether they wanted to bring in properties in that triangle. And they asked us to basically go after, bring in the Oakwood, because to do so, I mean, that's a long finger that extends right in the city. We've had issues in the past about long extents into the city that just later it's just very hard to annex. This is an area that has been in our plans to annex for a number of years. We also, while we were having that conversation with the council, Ferguson Enterprises also came in for a request for annexation. And using the 80-20 rule of state law, we had to fill in the islands, and that pretty much maximized that 20%. We just don't have enough consenting annexation properties anymore to bring in that triangle.
Any other questions for Leanne or Charlie?
I'd just like to ask a question based on past precedent. I recall that while there have been some annexation requests that have come before us, while it appeared that we didn't have an objection, we voted to just take no position. And I just want to throw that out to ask, is there any extenuating circumstances in this proposal that would mean that we might want to consider not taking that position of no position? And I guess I'm looking from the standpoint of how we've handled some previous ones versus, you know, the applications today. That's for a point of discussion.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect discussion to have. I mean, clearly you've got 14 property owners who are not in favor of this. Now, I view our role and the fact that Story County has participated in some of the conversations about the expansion of the research park, and that's the impetus behind all of this, as leading us more toward it being reasonable and appropriate for us to support this annexation, because that's the only way the research park happens. But Wayne, I think your point is really well thought out and really, really valid to what we're talking about. Where does our responsibility lie? Does it lie with the 14 property owners that are currently in the county that will become residents of the city of Ames, or does our responsibility lie with what we see as the direction for this area? And I think that's what's in front of us today.
Could we, and Leanne, this is probably a question that you may answer, help us answer as well. I think it's no secret that we have talked about this from the Conservation Board and positions regarding some of the future plans for the research park and some other areas. Are we still talking about the same potential area here, Rick, that we had talked about with conservation?
Yeah, I mean, the area that has been talked about with conservation is on the east side, so that big rectangle.
Right.
Okay, so in purple here.
Right.
Right, yeah, the purple area here is what we've talked about.
So,
but now City of Ames is talking about taking in some of that light orange area, not all of that light orange area. You can kind of see the triangle carved out with the natural space, but taking some of that up there.
Right. So while I feel very strongly that we have a strong interest in the triangle area there with the research park from the conservation standpoint, my question comes down to is how does that factor in to the rest of the area that is being proposed at this time if we didn't take a position at all?
Yeah,
I guess
and
that's
and
where I'm coming from.
What I would do is I would ask Leanne and Charlie both. It seems to me that the fact that in our in our agreement with the City of Ames, we recognize the orange area as urban residential. Seems to me that that is an initial recognition that ultimately that belongs in the city. And so what I'm saying to you, Wayne, is I think Board of Supervisors has already recognized that that orange area ultimately belongs in the city. Clearly, the research park, the purple area, is something that we have real interest in, specifically through conservation. So it seems to me that everything we're talking about here fits in with the county's stated view on what should be happening ultimately with this ground. If it were in the green area, so the agriculture, I mean, then it starts to get a little different. Then we've identified it a little differently in our agreements.
No matter what happens to here today, it's largely symbolic.
Yep.
I mean, no matter what our position is, it's not going to change the outcome of this.
Well, we do have to take this to the City Development Board probably on July 9th just to be on their agenda, and probably an August public hearing down in Des Moines. And I would guess that having a statement of support from the supervisors will go a long ways, I think, ultimately getting approval. We have the City of Ames hasn't done a non-consenting annexation of this size for a long time. Now, the most recent annexations, the Rose Prairie, the Quarry Estates, the Athan property, those were 100% consenting. On the Rose Prairie, I believe the board did support that one with a resolution. The Quarry Estates and the Athan, I believe you took no position one way or the other. But I would state that this is an area that in our plan, we've identified it for annexation. And also in the 2080 agreement, it's clear that the intent of the city is to annex it prior to any development. And for those that are seeking consenting annexation, they have development plans.
Mm-hmm. And Leanne, help me with this. I mean, maybe you don't have this right in front of you, and my memory is not what it used to be, but it seems to me that this Board of Supervisors, the three of us, has generally taken a position of supporting, not of of just kind of saying, yeah, we're not going to take a position. I know that in the past boards had more readily used the taken no position on it. Do you have any recollection of that? Because as I recall, we did support the Rose Prairie.
Rose Prairie was supported. I think
that's the only one I'm aware of, because unless I'm thinking of not the City of Ames but Huxley or somewhere, we had one. And I was one all in support of voting for that, and then we decided to take no position. And that's why I want to make sure that I'm not mixing up the two different entities, whether this was similar to Ames or was it another community, and that's where I wasn't really clear.
I know you've had some by Huxley and some by Slater as well, too, where it's been about a 50-50 split, where you've taken no position or you've just been in support of.
Well, I think it's in line with what I think this board has talked about in the past about economic development and the potential for that. And then if any place in the county sees economic development, it's a benefit for the entire county. And I wouldn't see it being out of line with what this board has done in the past to lend support to this annexation.
Well, I'll tell you what, just to move us along, I'm going to move approval of Resolution 14-101 in support of the application for voluntary annexation.
I will second the motion, and I want to come back and make a comment a little bit later.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second, so go ahead, Wayne.
Okay. The question comes to the residents who basically was not in support of this. If this moves forward through the way the city operates is in annexation, we've often talked about voluntary versus involuntary, and we also know there's the so-called condemnation factors that is in. Does any of those things play into come into play as a property owner who maybe are not in favor of coming into the city? And I'm thinking specifically of prior history that goes back a number of years, particularly, you know, in that area where we have the island now. And at one point, we really wanted to move forward and bring them into the city, and they said no. Timlin, I don't know if it's called Timlin Heights or whatever area. So you see where I'm going on this. I think at some point what I want to be sure of is, are we, as from a county standpoint, we're hearing the voices of those who are going to be impacted by annexation where it may not necessarily be of their liking?
Well, the city has, as far as I know, has not ever done an involuntary annexation, which I believe requires a vote of the community. We do want to respect the rights and wishes of the property owners. In this case, 80% of the property is seeking annexation. It's their desire. And because of that, we have to bring in a certain number of properties to avoid creating an island. There are some areas where I'm thinking that piece on the west side of Ames that wraps around Sunset Ridge development and then some of that property along State Avenue. I don't think that's ever going to annex unless the city actively does of a involuntary annexation. We have, you know, just it's a hard way to get some of those boundaries more uniform and the ability to supply services and allow for future development in those growth areas. One of the property owners here that's non-consenting has asked the city council for some consideration as to maybe a benefit, for example, for reduced water hookup costs to the city. We are going to put that on the agenda on June 24th along with the actual action to approve the annexation to see if the council wants to offer a reduced hookup charge similar to what we offered some of the property owners in the north annexation. I know it's a tough decision. I know I've talked with all these property owners, and some of them are mildly opposed, some of them are adamantly opposed. If they weren't, they would be a consenting property owner. So I know it's a tough decision for you and for the Ames City Council. But we try to offer what we can to make the transition into city a little bit easier.
Mr. Chair, I got to ask this question, and even though we now have a motion and discussion among us, but is it proper to ask Leanne whether or not we have received any communication from any of these property owners voicing their concern? I'm sure the City of Ames and your council would have received some, but has there been anything directed to the supervisors or to your department?
I have not received anything.
Okay.
No, I've not received anything. I did go to the consultation meeting, and I was the only one there other than Charlie and the planning director. So,
and help me again understand, the reason for the 80-20 rule has a lot to do with the fact that sometimes you may not get 100% compliance. And so the 80-20 is the general threshold that allows a municipality to move forward if it's, in their opinion, deemed for the greater good of the entire area.
That's correct. The 80-20 is to allow, to not to be held up by somebody who's not willing to annex. You can do an 80-20 under two criteria. One is to avoid creating an island, and that's solely what we're doing here with the 20.4%, or to create more uniform boundaries. In this case, if we had enough 80-20 to spare, we'd probably draw a straight line at the bottom of that triangle. We're just unable to do that. So we're taking in the minimum that we can, which is to avoid creating those islands.
Thank you.
And the only other thing I'll point out is this does not create a southern finger for the City of Ames. I mean, this is filling in ground that is already surrounded on three sides by the City of Ames.
Okay, we've got our motion and a second. We've had discussion. Is there anything further? Mr. Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
I can support it. Aye.
Toot. Aye. So that let it show that the Board of Supervisors is in support of this proposed annexation.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to follow up that the City of Ames Planning and Zoning Commission is considering this item tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the City Hall in Ames. We provided notices to everybody within the annexation area and also everybody abutting the annexation area. So that's the next step in the process to allow the citizens, the property owners, to be heard formally. We've talked to them informally many times, and this is an opportunity for them to be on the record.
Okay.
And then this will go to our Ames City Council on June 24th.
Charlie, thanks for coming over
Thank
today.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Next, discussion and consideration of adding the position of County Outreach and Special Projects Manager, Alyssa Wignall.
Good morning.
Morning.
This is a item that was on the agenda three weeks ago. Okay, I was trying to remember. 2 or 3 weeks ago. Okay. And you wanted it put back on the agenda June 3rd to allow everybody to have their time to do their research, have discussions. I have had discussions with Supervisor Clinton. Supervisor Sanders and I met with the three employees in the department and had a discussion that way. I'll just leave it. I don't know, Rick, if you want to discuss any of that.
Yeah, I mean, what were your findings coming out of all those discussions?
We went into the meeting and asked the current staff of what their workload was like, how it would impact that department if we pulled one position out of that department and didn't fill it. Just kind of asked them what their thoughts were. The three employees really didn't have any concerns with that. I kind of asked how it would change the department. We didn't get into any job description duties, anything like that at this point. Mainly just workload. That was our main concern. If it would impact any of their positions.
But at this point, it would be fair to say that based on your investigation, this would not be the creation of a new position. It would simply be changing the job responsibilities of a position and then reorganizing the department as it's left behind to see where things go.
Correct. At this point, it would not be adding a county position. It would be reorganizing the duties of that position. It's a different position. Mm-hmm. It's a new job description, but it would not mean authorizing additional personnel. You're taking a position from a department, putting it into another department, transferring it. It would be a transfer is what it would be.
Now, one question I forgot to ask in my discussion was logistics. There would be no change in terms of the office configuration at the present time in terms of if this position was approved, they would have to be moved to outside of a different office?
You mean where this position would be?
Well, the person is title is changing, so they would still be housed in the same general areas. That's the only question I forgot to ask.
I haven't had any discussion that it would be.
I have, Wayne.
Have you?
The intent would be if in fact we were to make this transfer and rearrange, that ultimately we would take Leanne out of down there and bring her up here. We've had conversations with Cal. There is a space up here that we can finish off. It's actually right next to the GIS. And so that would be the ultimate intent is not to leave Leanne there physically in that office if you're removing her from the planning and development responsibilities.
Okay, yeah, that was my question. And that was one question I had forgotten to ask at that time. That helps me. Okay.
So when we were here last time with this topic, I had asked that Wayne and I take the time and get the questions answered that we needed to get answered. I also met with the two planners and the office coordinator down there and had a very good conversation with the three of them. And it was my feeling that after that conversation that if we didn't do anything, if we left things just exactly the way they were, that at some point in the very near future that the productivity in the planning and development department was going to start to suffer, if maybe it hasn't done so some already. And that's simply because of the amount of work that we've asked the director down there to do for this board. So I'm satisfied. I've got the answers to the questions that I had. And it's like anything else that we do that hasn't been done before. We'll have to make some adjustments as we go, and
and I'm sure there'll be some changes made along the road. But I think this is the right direction to take.
And that's our responsibility as a board. That's our responsibility for the county, is to try to ascertain what's the right direction, and then try to make it work and do it in as an efficient and cost-effective a manner as we possibly can. I believe that everything we've seen over the last 3 years, all the things we've asked for, it was completely appropriate for us to go exactly down the path we went down. But now it is evident that not only have we increased workload on Leanne, it's going to continue. She does a spectacular job with these issues we've been throwing her, and we need to do more and more and more of it. And it is really beneficial to Story County and the people of Story County. So I think this is exactly what the Board of Supervisors is supposed to be considering and addressing.
The questions that I had, you know, obviously was answered. I came into it, and it was probably more or less a fault of my own at the time, because I had been at a conference and so forth, and I hadn't really had a chance to look into it prior to the meeting, so I was kind of caught off guard, and I knew that I had some questions that I wanted to have a better understanding of as we talked through this, because... And I think you touched base with it, Paul, that as we go through the process, this is going to be a continual evaluation of not only the position that we would be contemplating, but also the entire structure of the Planning and Development Department and its workload and so forth, to determine if and when, if there needed to be some adjustments that would have to be made down the road. And I think that type of due diligence is extremely necessary. And I think because it involves personnel, it involves job descriptions, it involves several other things, I would want us to have Alyssa, our HR person, work very closely with the department as a point of contact in helping look at all of these factors and coming back to us with a recommendation in terms of, you know, what she's been able to think is probably going to be the most efficient way. And you, as the liaison working with that department, obviously you're going to be in a position to have ongoing communication. But I think if we could designate Alyssa also to work with them in that department, I would feel good about making sure that there was, again, another outside person working with staff and working with the department to make sure that things are moving along in a smooth transition.
The other question I would have is I think we need to make an effective date.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I would like to give a little bit of time, if this is approved, to make the transition and out of that department, if this is approved. So,
yeah, and that would be my intent with a motion. I just wanted to go back to one thing before I make a motion, if we're to that point yet. Wayne, I felt like 3 weeks ago it was completely appropriate, but more than appropriate. It was just flat out the right thing to do for us to stop 3 weeks ago, take a step back, and really dig in and analyze that. But the right way for that to happen is for a proposal to come before this board, and then we do exactly what you suggested 3 weeks ago, take a step back and really analyze. Because if it's a good decision 3 weeks ago, it's a good decision today. And if it wasn't, then it wasn't going to be a good decision today. So I didn't view that as having anything to do with you coming in and not having read the material. I viewed it as it was the right thing to do, and I just want you to know I appreciate that.
Anything further?
All right, so then I would make a motion that we do add the position of County Outreach and Special Projects Manager effective July 1st, 2014. I think I'll stop there.
I will. I'll second that.
Yeah, obviously the only reason why I'm reluctant to is – well, the discussion will tell me why July 1st might be in. It's a motion and been seconded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Discussion, it's beginning of the fiscal year. It gives us almost a month to make the transition. I don't believe when you do something like this, you spend a whole lot of time on the transition. I think that's more than enough Wayne, I'm with you completely that we've got to count on Alyssa to really stay on top of everything. We're fortunate that we've got great staff. All three of the remaining staff members in planning and development are outstanding. And I think I got the impression when there's a real sense of camaraderie there, and I'm excited to see where that thing goes. I'm also excited about the prospect of Leanne going ahead and getting started. The reality is she's already doing a lot of what this job is going to be. We have some cleanup work we have to do in the meantime. We've got to figure out which one of us is going to serve as a liaison to this newly created department, if in fact it's created. And we've got to go through the logistics of making sure we're ready to go with everything. I think there's some ordinance language that we need to correct in terms of the floodplain manager and a few things like that, if we want that to stay with this position. And I just think it gives us enough time to get there without being so long that everybody starts just kind of stopping and staring at each other.
Let me just make sure that I heard you correctly. I don't necessarily see this. You use the word department if it becomes that. I don't see it in the same light as a new department at this point in time.
Only reason I use department is because as we're setting this up, it reports to the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That was the only reason I used that.
All right. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second, and we've had our discussion. Mr. Sanders?
Aye.
Mr. Toot? Aye. Mr. Clinton?
Aye.
That has been approved. Next is our agency report.
Melissa, thank
you. Wait a minute. Question. You will continue in your role as a liaison to planning and development. Do we need to designate someone to do that at this point? And I guess if so, I'm wondering.
So why don't we do that? Yes, we need to do it. Let's do it at another board meeting.
Board meeting.
So that we can put it on the agenda.
So we need to be thinking about that.
Absolutely.
And okay, great. That's what I needed to know.
Okay. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Good. Leanne, your work is ahead of you.
Yeah, congratulations and condolences
At the same time. And I think a lot has to be said also about the overall effectiveness of the department and some of the things that they've done over time. It's just been outstanding, too, and so we certainly appreciate that.
And before we move on, Charlie and Kristen and Ryan, who's not here, we're counting on you guys. We appreciate everything you've done and really excited about what you're going to do.
Okay. Great.
Now it's time for Eileen Mullen from Homeward.
Hello.
Eileen.
Hello. You moved
all
quickly
the stuff you
here,
gave me,
too.
Look at this big
thing. Eileen's used to me moving our DCAT meetings along fairly rapidly.
5 minutes. okay. This is my annual report for Homeward. I always like to start by showing what the departments we have or the programs we have in Homeward. Hospice with the different home care and Israel House and bereavement. Private duty is the Homemaker Program, Lifeline, and Meals on Wheels, and those are sliding fee programs. Then the skilled home health, which means you need a physician's order in order to be in that program. And then the Story County Public Health, which is solely funded by grant dollars. And emergency preparedness has become a huge piece of public health in the last few years. It's really was kind of new to our arena. Senior health clinics are extremely valuable yet in keeping people out of the hospitals as well as it's a social time sometimes. Immunizations, disease surveillance, that has grown tremendously. We have a lot of foodborne outbreaks and many other things that we're dealing with here in this county. ISU helps to make that a little bit more prominent. Lead parenting classes. Just a few stats. Immunization clinics, these are the numbers of people we've served in a few of the cases. I've put in hours as well. So we keep very busy. I think that in general our population, the numbers have been pretty consistent over the last few years. Our focus this year, why we have been busy in all those arenas, I believe would be our Story County Health Improvement Plan, our Emergency Response Coalition, Transitional Care Program, and Immunization Billing, and I will just briefly touch on those. The Story County Quality of Life Alliance is the alliance that was created in order to help us meet our community health needs assessment. This shows the structure where we have on the left the community coalitions that are on board with this. There probably are a few more that I haven't added that I need to. And then the partner agencies. And this is all health related for our community needs assessment. There's a leadership group of about five individuals who help move this forward. We meet on a quarterly basis. We have utilized some of the findings from the county health rankings, and you may be very familiar with this, and I wanted to just show you a few things on this. The county health rankings, this is through the Robert Wood of Johnson Foundation grant dollars, and on the left you see the health behaviors, clinical care, socioeconomic factors, and physical environment. Those are the four areas that we get ranked as counties, and the definition of things that go into that are on the right. When you Google or go into the www.robertwoodjohnsonfoundation website, you can see more details. This is our map. You see that Story County.
I like that we're in white.
We're in the white. We're doing really good. White is good. Here for health factors, again, we're doing really well. We're in the white. There's the website. So this shows where we are as compared to previous years when we first started getting these outcomes. So the health outcomes, it shows the mortality, morbidity. You can see 2014 on the right, lower numbers are better. So our health ranking overall, we're just inching up a little bit more. This group, the coalition, the alliances, we're trying to hone in on this to see what's caused the little factors of increase. You can see on health factors where it goes both ways. And physical factor, that was kind of interesting. So anyway, we're beginning to analyze that. If you get into this website, you can hone in on this a little bit more and get some of your own detail. So that was.
Well, you dig into it, I am really interested in the quality of life here. It's creeping up a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
Still really good. But as you guys start to ascertain what is causing it to creep up a little, I'd be really interested in knowing that.
Okay, I'll be very happy to share that. And, 2015, we'll be doing a community needs assessment again, and which will help us with that. This is the coalition that has been pulled together for Story County Healthcare Emergency Response Coalition. And I may be repeating some things you know, but it's worthy to just touch on this. It's a coalition of county hospitals, public health, and community partners. So that'd be Story County Medical Center, Mary Greeley Medical Center, and our public health. The focus is to sustain, build, and complete healthcare preparedness and response. Again, it's not the emergency management. It is just for healthcare coalition emergency response. The history of this is 2011, federal interagencies signed the MOU. The states were asked to create models for sustainability. Iowa Department of Public Health has a five-year grant in order to implement this. And so all of that has begun. Prior to 2013, each of the hospitals and the public health would receive their own grant dollars from the county. With this new focus beginning in the new fiscal year here in July, we will have a combined grant dollars. And Homeward is the fiscal agent right now. We see that as healthy, and we'll work together to identify gaps and needs within the county. What the ultimate goal for the state is for our counties to merge and be a coalition with other counties.
Regionalization keeps creeping yes, into every does. Conversation, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And so I foresee that something could happen in the near future. And we bring all that to the Board of Health and let them weigh in on that.
Yeah, and in theory, I like this direction. The problem is the difference between the theory and the practice. Sometimes we run into some real speed bumps. I really appreciate that you guys are the fiscal agent because I think it puts you in a unique position to try to make sure that we minimize those speed bumps. But again, I'd like you to keep us informed as you start to see the issues that undoubtedly are going to come anytime we transition to something like this.
Will do.
Thank you.
And there are some already. But, so why the change? I've sort of hit on that. One of the big things is that we feel the dollars are going away, the federal dollars. And so looking how to sustain within your own county without those federal dollars will be huge. And I think that's one of the challenges if we get outside of our county, how we partner and bring those monies together. Just a lot of the politics of that. So the next thing I want to bring forward, which was a focus and continues to be, is transitional care program. And what this is we work with Mary Greeley. Obviously, we're a part of Mary Greeley, but yet we function a little differently. We are working with them where we will go into patient homes free of charge for any patient who has has had an acute MI, pneumonia, heart failure, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. We will make a visit, and during that visit, make sure the medications are correct from what they were supposed to have. Sometimes there's problems with that when you transition out of the hospital. We make sure they have a doctor's appointment, and we'll get there within 4 days. McFarland Clinic is working really well with us to make sure that appointments are made within 4 days for these folks with these diagnoses. And these diagnoses are the ones that are utilized because they have the most readmissions into the hospital and then the most costly to us as a society with readmissions to hospitals.
Is there a specific place that the funding's coming from to do this?
This is free of charge. Homeward is doing this free of charge. There is no money. So what we anticipate is the way healthcare dollars are going and the way we'll get reimbursed. Right now, we get reimbursed for fee for service. The more you spend, the more you get paid. In the future, it's likely and makes sense that as entities, hospitals, physician offices, nursing homes and public health like ourselves, as we work together, you'll get one amount of money and you figure out how to split it among y'all. And you want to make, and the incentive will be to keep them at the lowest cost place to live.
So it's all outcome based.
All outcome based.
And this seems to me that this could really positively impact those outcomes.
That's right. Keep them out of the hospital. That's our whole goal. So right now, it's kind of Mary Greeley's taking a risk because they're saying, well, we're not going to get reimbursed by keeping them out. But at the same time, it's the right thing to do,
yep.
And the future's taking us that way.
Yep.
So it's free of charge right now, but hopefully it'll set us in the right place in the future.
Yep.
Our senior health clinics, another one of, I mentioned, here's where we have them, and these indeed do keep people from the hospital as well, and they help the physicians. Our staff are certified in foot care, and so there's a lot of foot care going on. It takes special people to do that. And they are hook them up with a physician when need to. As Paul knows, we've been working on an immunization billing grant, and what that is again, preparing us in public health for the future. We need to find ways to make revenue, and this will be a way that we can do that. So we did get some grant dollars, and we're putting that in place, and we anticipate to have be able to provide immunizations and bill insurances in the next month or so. And so we look forward to anybody here that hires out for immunizations, consider us, because this fall, yeah.
In contact.
Yes,
we do a flu clinic every October.
Maybe we can use you as our guinea pig.
Depends on the size of the needle.
I want you to have it given the
depends
shot.
Depends on the size of the needle.
No square needles.
We'll use our certified staff for you guys. That's all for my report.
Questions for Eileen?
No, thank you.
We're so appreciative of what you're doing. And I really appreciate that Homeward is on the cutting edge, putting in some programs in place that aren't monetized yet. That takes some great courage and some great foresight. And so thank you.
You're unavailable this afternoon, is that correct? Okay. Thank you. Next, departmental reports, facilities management. Cal Pearson.
Good morning.
The laptop's a little nervous. You see how the laptop gets a little nervous when he starts walking up?
Come on now.
Thumb drive in his hand.
Second time's a charm.
You're like a pro.
You didn't say that just then, didn't you?
You're back to Homeward.
Back to Homeward. Now you had it up there.
Excellent. There you go.
There you go. All right. We'll send you the bill.
Okay, quarterly report for March 1st through May 31st. Our numbers are actually down a little bit this quarter, which is good. We've got time to catch up on other things, but otherwise we're still keeping busy. Administration building had 63 work orders, 0 on calls. CLP group home had 70 work orders, 13 after hour on calls. HSC 51 work orders, 7 on calls. Justice Center 54 and 16 on calls, and 5 miscellaneous others for a total of 243 work requests and 36 on calls. 6 days of that nasty four-letter word snow days were also involved in that quarter that we had to take care of. Projects we worked on this quarter, we assisted the auditor with election supply and pickup. Annual furnace inspections at the group homes were completed. Annual inspections at the Human Service Center, such as sprinkler, a backflow preventer, fire inspections were completed. We completed a recarpeting at Human Service Center in the upper hallway area. We had a factory defect problem with the carpet, and Carpetland called the reps, and they replaced everything free of charge, so we have new carpet in that area. So that was a nice thing to get completed. Also, we've completed the move of the IT server room with from the CLP administration building to the Human Service Center. This was a joint effort with IT and facilities management. They also had a consultant involved, and we had Jasper Electric on the electrical site helping us.
Where is that located now? In
server room?
Yeah.
Well, this is where it was. It was at CLP administration in the basement in Ames.
Okay.
And there's just... what it looked like. There's one of the IT personnel over there asking if we remembered where these cables went, and fortunately it must have worked out and we got everything going. So here's another shot. The concern here was heating. The air conditioning was inadequate, and we also had live sprinkler heads over this equipment, which was always a concern for moving out of this building. And just another quick shot. There you can see the sprinkler head right above the UPS there. Now here's the new location. You'll notice in the corner there, that red cylinder, that's the new gas suppression system that takes the place of a sprinkler system in case there was a fire. And you can see the ceiling is now open so that any modifications or additions, it's totally accessible. And the room is also completely sealed so that gas from the suppression system cannot leak out of that room if there was an issue. And just another picture of...
Napping, or is he doing something?
Well, he's doing something, Rick. And we have another shot of the IT guys trying to remember where those cables went, I believe. But everything seemed to work out all right. There's a completed picture of it's a small area, but everything fits in there well. And there's a suppression panel and the distribution electrical panel, main disconnect, and UPS. And there it's all moved. It went real well. My staff was out of there by noon, and I think IT was out of there shortly after that. So it was a real good project, and it was great working with IT on this, and everything went well. Some other things we've been working on this quarter is we met with the architect for the Justice Center renovation project we're talking about. We've done our seasonal rotation of equipment. And we replaced a second of the water heaters in the jail. We have one more to replace yet, but this has been a scheduled replacement. The heaters that are in there are original equipment. We'd rather replace them now than in the middle of the night when one's leaking or having a problem. And then we began the outside work, the fertilizer, the weed treatment, mowing, that sort of thing. Another big project we're kind of in the process of right now is we began the re-roofing project at CLP. I have a few photos of that. Just a quick run through the before. The project began with the steel roof. And this was a big issue of concern here that had caused some problems. If you can see where the dining room windows are, the flat roof there, that was a problem that's always gave us some issues. And this is on the east side where they've taken the metal off. They've built the overhang there, as you can see. Now we have also protection on the walls from the overhang, and we're getting ready to shingle. Here's some of that old gutter that I talked about that was never hooked up, and some of the shape it was in. We did find a little bit of damage, but this was the worst spot we found, and it was contained to the outer sheathing, and that's about a 2x4 foot piece of plywood that was cut out and replaced. And if you can see that 2x4 in there, there's no problem with that or the inside sheeting. So
but
that was
really, really fortunate.
Very fortunate. This is some of the old gutter that was in there, and you can see it was rusted clear through. That has been completely removed. It is gone forever. And here's work began on the north side. This really took a dramatic change as it came together here. You can see the dormer on the right side going over that flat roof, and then the big dormer going over the dining room roof area.
It's a better looking building. Just driving by it, I'm excited to see it with all the shingles
on it. There's a good look of that. The shingling is completed there. And there's another shot of it, how like I say, we've eliminated those flat roofs that were a constant battle or a problem. There's just a quick shot of the before and after. So it's really coming together, and I think it's going to be a much better roof, and it's going to make the building last that much longer. Other than that, if you have any questions. The one project that was left out of the presentation was the ongoing communication tower project, and I will be coming back to the board in the near future to talk more about that. So otherwise, unless you have some questions, that's...
I would just say, Paul, I know you've been working with Cal on, primarily on the tower renovation. I've been working with Cal and others on the initial drafts of a Justice Center remodel, specifically dealing with that courtyard that's sitting there. We continue to have conversations with the architect. I think there's a chance we might meet again yet this week. But I would expect something later this fall to actually come back before the board and to the public on where this might go. Obviously, a lot of work to do just to get some kind of proposal ready. So just anytime you come, I want to make sure we have these two updated on everything that's going on.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty.
Liaison assignment and committee meeting updates. Wayne.
Briefly met with Ron Christian yesterday as my regularly scheduled time, and primarily was just a quick update with Parker Dennison coming in next week, whether they were had everything in place and all the necessary information that had been requested, and he felt very good about where they are and was really excited about having them come in. I will be representing the board on Thursday morning as we wrap up a lot of the information and hopefully start talking about the plans and what kind of things that we need to be thinking about as we move forward. So I'm excited about that. And we did talk a little bit about some of the staffing challenges that is still taking place. Currently, right now, they are able to backfill and maintain with existing staff. We do know as of July there will be one of our group home supervisors will be leaving to go to work with the state, and so hopefully there will be some internal interest in covering that, but he assured us that he'll stay in contact with us and Alyssa if we have to make any other adjustments as we move forward with that. So excited about that. So that was the majority of the discussion, and he was still very positive.
Yeah, and along those lines, Wayne, hopefully you guys saw it. I put a blurb in the newsletter just kind of where this board has been with redesign and how it affects CLP. And, you know, I think we continue to try really, really hard to make sure that that we have full information out there, and specifically with staff, we keep them as informed as we can. We just don't have the answers at this point. So I'm excited about the consultants coming in on behalf of the region and really looking forward to seeing their report. Wayne, are you hearing maybe later this summer or early fall?
I believe so. That was the general plan, yes. And we'll know more after I meet with them on Thursday in terms of what the timetable is.
Thank you for doing that.
Rick, anything? Pass. Public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Nobody moving towards the mic. Announcements. Wayne.
Just this afternoon, the IMWCA, Iowa Municipal Workers' Comp Board, dealing with our workers' comp area, we will be reviewing and visiting several of our buildings as just part of the ongoing visitation. And we're so far, Alyssa probably have mentioned to you, but I'm sure that we'll get the official news today of where we are as the lowest mod of any county in the state, and this is a testament to our employees about where they are. And I'm sure Cal has left now, but from the standpoint of our safety committee, we'd like to certainly come up with something that we want to send out as appreciation to all of our staff for.
Well, we say all the time that we've got the best staff. We've got the best staff in the state of Iowa of any county, and this is demonstration of not only do we have great staff, but they do a great job taking care of themselves. And
one of the challenges, and I should just add, and I've heard everything from possibly 40,000 to whatever in terms of reduction in cost for us, but our board will be meeting this summer in our staff retreat, and it's at that meeting we begin to finalize the discounts to member counties and all of that. So if I'll know more later on in the summer in terms of if there's going to be any adjustments for the upcoming year other than what we will expect for this calendar year.
That's great news. Thanks for serving on. My announcement is I'll miss the next two board meetings. First one, taking my daughter back east, my youngest, hallelujah, getting to the end of the road to look at some colleges. And then the second one, I'll be representing us with the AEDC and Drew in Washington, D.C. So,
and I'll just remind everybody, today's the day to vote, if you haven't done so already.
Will do.
Move adjournment.
Second.
Motion and second for adjournment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.